Lake County is home to many minority entrepreneurs who strengthen the local small business community. Each week, we'll bring you one of their stories. Welcome to Neighborhood Voice. I'm your host, Erica Pfizer. And this week, we're joined by Jeffrey Colby, owner of Playboy Barber and Style Shops. Jeffrey, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
How is the barbershop business these days? I would imagine that you had to close down for some time this year. Are things returning to normal?
We were closed for 2 months approximately when the state mandated us to close down. Things have not really come back to normal. We're probably running at about 50 to 40% what we normally would as far as our customer count and what we're making as far as financially. So this has been a struggle. The entire year has been a struggle. Starting with this breakout of COVID, and looking at the records and looking at the state things that's going on, it's not seeming to be getting much better as a nation. You know, as not just for as my industry, but as a nation, it's not getting much better. And I know there's a lot of people that are closing and not reopening because they just can't. You know, they just don't have the wherewithal to do it. I'm blessed to be third generation barber in a shop that's been established in Gary since 1965. You know. Someone in my family has cut hair in Gary since the 50s, my grandmother, and I've just been blessed to be able to be part of that and to be able to carry the tradition forward, you know.
Yeah, so that's 55 years then this year you're celebrating. And I'm sure that longevity has helped you establish a reputation and keep your regular customers coming back. Have you had your regular customers coming back?
Oh, we've had an influx of them, but, you know, we still have some of our regulars who haven't seen yet because a lot of them are seniors. We have a lot of older customers, and they just not coming out in this atmosphere. And I understand it. You know, I understand it. We might get them come in once, and then you see them again for another 2 or 3 months. So it's just, and we respect that. You know, you have to respect that and respect what we're up against because this is something that is taking people out, you know. And no one wants to leave here any quicker than we have to, you know.
Yeah, it's unprecedented times that we're in, and I think we're all trying to navigate being cautious and, trying to get back to some normalcy of life. So you said your grandmother started it.
Yes.
And then your mother would have been the second generation?
Yes.
And so did you always know you were just going to go into this business, or did you think you would pursue something else?
Not even close. I've been around barbering since I was been on this planet, so I never had any inclination how to be a barber. I went to college when I was doing what you guys are doing. I was in the radio and communications. Came out of school, worked an internship at WLTH for a while with Tommy Williams back in the 80s, and couldn't latch on anywhere, so I wound up moving, got into management, went to the East Coast, came back this way in 91, 92, and my grandmother kind of put the bug in me about helping out the shop and possibly going to school and getting my, you know, license, and because she's looking for her retirement, you know. She knows this, my mother's going to need some help running the business, so I did start doing it part-time, fell in love with it, so that's what I've been doing for 25 years now.
Wow, and so when did the keys become yours?
Basically, when my grandmother passed away in 99, it was me and my mother, so she kind of let me run the management part of the business and while she just, you know, took care of everything else. So basically then, back in 99 is when basically the keys were turned over to me as far as controlling and running the business. I've been grooming my son. He's 24. I've been grooming him a little bit, not as far as the cutting aspect, but as far as running the business aspect of it, you know, because you don't have to be a barber in order to run a barbershop, but it does help to know how. So he's in a business management major, so that's right up his field, you know. So it's been interesting. It's been interesting last 25 years, you know.
Yeah, I would imagine that you try to balance keeping the history of the shop with making it your own and doing things that are new. So how have you maybe changed the business since you took over to make it more your own?
I'll be honest with you, I've changed very little because my grandmother was so far ahead of her time as far as what she was doing here in Gary, especially being a woman entrepreneur in a barbershop in the 50s, you know, that was unheard of. So she was definitely a trendsetter, you know, and so we just maintained the rule of thumb that if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know, and we just rolled from there. You know, we were very professional in our shop. Yeah, there's a little cut up every now and then, but we're not to the point where you hear about so many stories, horror stories of barbershops about what's going on inside of them as far as the drinking, the corral, whatever, you know. I don't do that. You know, we don't do that. That's not how I was groomed into this business, and that's not how you run a successful business in my eye. People do what they want to do, how they want to do it. I choose not to. You know, I have a higher level of integrity than that for myself. And my clientele respects that. You know, we get a lot of doctors, a lot of senior citizens, a lot of little kids, mothers, officials, you know, different officials, you know, and they respect the fact that we keep it like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I was in your shop just mm-hmm. a few weeks ago mm-hmm. because you received a small business grant.
Yes.
And you have pictures all along, maybe at least one wall, but
right.
maybe two,
right.
that, you know, have all of this history to them, show
yes.
your grandmother, your mother. And so you see that history in the shop. And you mentioned a little bit about the atmosphere, but what kind of atmosphere do you like to create for your clients when they come in?
I like you to feel like you're at home. You know, I want you to be comfortable when you come in the shop, be able to speak freely, speak your mind. You know, we don't, you know, other than now with the COVID, we have rules as far as separation and wearing the mask. But normally it's just like come into our type of attitude, you know, real casual. You know, we like it real casual and comfortable, you know. That's the same way I like to be at my home, you know, casual and comfortable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think most people like to be in situations where they're in that, have that type of feeling. So that's what I try to portray at the shop.
Oh, well, that's whatever. So what resources have been available to you as you were getting, either when you were starting your business?
Mm-hmm.
I guess let's start there. What resources were available to you when you took over and you were just learning, you know, how to be a business owner?
Me coming from the background of management from different corporations, I brought that with me, you know, so those, some of those skills are already there. Being a communications major, that was helpful as well. But just the fact of the matter that just learning from what my grandmother and mother did, how they did it, and emulating their style was a key, you know, because I still cut some of their customers' hair.
Wow.
I mean, these guys have been coming here since the 60s, and I still cut their hair, and it's wonderful. You know, when you see them come in, it's really wonderful to see these guys come in, and they can tell me things about me when I was a little boy, you know? And it's kind of interesting to hear those stories, but we just keep it real. Like I said, we like to keep it real casual. My professionalism is where it should be, you know? I don't share a lot of trade secrets as far as how I do what I do to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I just make it happen, you know?
I'm sure there's a lot of stories told in that shop then, if you have people who've been going there for
oh God, yes.
55 years, then
oh, yes.
a lot of stories about, you know, how things used to be
oh, yes.
or what Gary well, used to look like.
Definitely Gary. We hear so many stories about Gary that are the historical stories of Gary,
mm-hmm.
how wonderful it was. And me growing up as a kid, you know, being in Gary myself part-time, because I was raised in Hammond, but the business over here, I saw it firsthand. Gary was a wonderful place. You know, it was a wonderful place. Always something to do. You know, you had movie theaters. You had skating rinks. It was all, the parks were filled, you know. Schools were filled to capacity. Great educational system, you know. And I was kind of shocked when I went away to college and came back home and seen how it deteriorated so badly, you know. And it's just been declining ever since. The infrastructure of Gary, it's strong. I mean, you have a great foundation in Gary as far as there's opportunities there. I mean, it's ready. Gary is ready to explode and become what it was, you know, in a different direction, not the same depending on the steel mill. But there's other industries that can take over and dominate in Gary and be successful, you
yeah.
know. Not leaning on the casino so much, you know, because the money we get from the casino is minute compared to what the guy who owns the casino is getting,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we can't really depend on that. Yes, it's a good source for jobs. Yes, it's a venue for entertainment, but it's not a viable product, I think, in my eyes, to make Gary elevate, you know, to what the heights it should be risen to. We don't take it, to my opinion, we don't take advantage of the beach enough. You know, that is a gold mine that has not been even dug the surface, scratched the surface of, you know. So, I mean, it's a lot of things I would like to see Gary do that it hasn't done, and do some things better that it is doing already. And small businesses, we kind of get put on the shelf a little bit sometimes in Gary. You know, it's like they look at us, but they don't look at us, you know.
And I think you staying in Gary, having a business there for so long, even after coming back, and as you said, you came back from college, you felt like the city wasn't what it was when you had left, but you didn't pick up and move.
Oh, no,
you
I love Gary.
You stayed there.
Yeah.
And there are so many small businesses in Gary, in Northwest Indiana, who are committed to this place and committed to seeing it succeed. And I really think that small businesses will be the backbone of Gary's resurgence and our region's growth, too.
Yeah, as well they should. You know, you can't depend on big business coming in here because they're not home products.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're home product. We're homegrown. We know what this area could be and should be, you know. So who better to do that than the people who are from here, you know. Anybody can come in from another country or another city or another city or state and establish something that they don't understand the true roots of what this is all about, you know. They're here to make money. And that's all they're here for. They're here for a bottom line. They're not. They can care a little less about the people or the quality of life that people have. They're here to make money, you know. And I understand that money is what it's about, but there's also you have to have a sense of community, you know, and you have to have that pride in the community, you know, which is, I think, something that Gary has to get back towards, because it was a very prideful community and a very strong community, you know, and we were very diverse. You know, we had a lot of diversity in Gary. We need to bring that back. I am a fan of diversity. You know, I think we need to become a melting pot again, you know, where we have, you know, the Greek people, you had the German people, you had everybody here, Hispanics, you know, we had everybody in the city, and it worked. It worked, and I think that's going to be the key to getting back to some of that success that they used to have, is just getting back to that formula, you know.
And so what would you share with someone who was starting out a barbershop or any other kind of small business in the city of Gary, what advice would you give to them?
Just, you got to be thick-skinned. You know, you got to be thick-skinned because you see everything that glitters isn't gold. You know, it doesn't always shine. You have to really work hard at it. You have to have a great aptitude for it. You got to have a desire to make it, want it to be successful. And, you know, like a lot of things, timing is everything. It's got to be the right time and the right location to make things work. And, you know, a lot of problems in businesses are consistency. You know, they lack the consistency. You'll come in one time and I'll get this bottle of water we're looking at right here and it'll be this. Next time I come in, it might be half full and it's the same. You're going to sell me the same product for the same price. I'm only getting half what I should be getting. And that's true in all businesses in Gary. You know, we're probably one of the lower costing barber shops in the city. We do that on purpose because we want our customers to come there, and we make money. Don't trust and believe, we do make money, but it's not like we're trying to gouge you. You know, we're not gonna we don't look, when you come in, we don't see a dollar sign. We see you, you know, and we want to know you. It's and that's what make people want to come back to us. And we'll have guys that leave, move out of state or whatever, and come back 15, 20 years from now. They'll come see us. You know, and it's a great feeling. We'll cut their kids here. We'll cut some of their grandkids here. And it's just the fact that they know when they come into our barbershop, they're going to get quality, you know.
So. And they're going to get a safe experience,
yes.
too. As you said, you're taking care of all the precautions to make sure that people are distanced.
Yes.
They're wearing their masks. They can feel comfortable. You know, bring your regulars back out and come and get their haircut.
Yeah,
so
we keep it sanitized and sterilized. We use bleach water because it's kind of hard to get the disinfectant out. But we just, you know, we substitute in the bleach water and clean out our chairs and everything else. We have hand sanitizer everywhere. We got the chair separated 6 feet apart. So, you know, we try to make it as convenient in an inconvenient situation as possible. You know, so yeah, it's working pretty good so far. Just people got to get a little more comfortable, and with these numbers spiking, it's kind of hard to get comfortable when the numbers are spiking. You know, it's kind of really hard because you say, oh, I want to go out, but then you see, oh, my God, we're 11.9, you know, percentage there as far as the people are coming out with it, where it was at a 4, now we're at 11. Mm-hmm. And they say, I think I'm going to stay in the house. You know, it's just the way it is, you know.
What makes you continue to get up and come to work every day, even when it's difficult? And when you don't know whether or not your customers are coming back, what makes you get up and continue to come back every day?
I have drive. You know, I love competition. Being a former athlete, that's what I do. You know, I just I don't have any quit in me, you know. My grandmother and mother didn't have any quit in them either, you know. They, I guess I learned a lot from them, you know, as far as being stubborn in the fact that I'm going to continue being persistent in what we do. And I have a lot of faith in God, you know. He has inspired me to do a lot of things and then put me in position to make those things happen. And this business is one of them, you know. Difficult days for everyone. You know, I just saw a video today of this gentleman who had cancer, who was a world-class diver. And he just got up to the board and just fell in. But it's like, that guy does that. I mean, we can all do something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, and you were saying, well, why is he even trying that? Because this guy wants to. He wants to compete. He wants to succeed in something, you know. And I think that's a lot of things people give up quickly on. You know, as far as in running your businesses, you can't give up. You know, you got, if you got a dream, you got to live that dream. You know, you got to live your dreams and reach your goals. You know, and that's me. I have a lot of goals and a lot of ambitions that I'm striving towards. You know, so and my business is one of them. You know, my shop is one of them, and I got a lot more, but that's one of them.
Well, tell people where they can visit you, your hours, how they can come find you.
Okay, we're located 4683 Broadway in Gary, Indiana. Our day's operations are Tuesday through Saturday from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
Thank you for joining us this week on Neighborhood Voice. You can find resources to build a better business at nwibizhub.com. This show is made possible by Legacy Foundation, the Community Foundation for Lake County, Indiana.